Lying
You know what?
is
This is fucking hilarious. I
stupid.
just remembered something that happened to me when I was like 7 years old, right? I'm at my grandparents' house, and cousins were in from out of town, and we were like in a childhood frenzy of just running around, too much sugar, whatever, and everyone's laughing, and the room's spinning, and everything's just so funny. And we were in the kitchen where all the adults were talking, and in order to get attention from the adults, I said something that I had heard from a TV show that I had watched earlier in the day. And I didn't understand what the word meant, but I just knew that when everyone was watching it, it caused, you know, a ripple in people's sort of awareness. And so I turned to my grandpa and I said, I want to rape you. Because I had heard that word on TV and I knew that it could cause a splash. And I thought it would be really funny because this seven-year-old kid saying this adult word, and I had heard it on TV. So I say this, and it drops a fucking bomb in the middle of the it drops a bomb in the middle of the kitchen. And no one knows what I meant by that. No one knows where I heard it. It was just so alien to hear out of a seven-year-old's mouth that, you know, I had to be taken out of the room and taught, where did you hear that word? What do you think it means? And I had to explain myself. And it was really just in one ear, out the other. It was
David.
Just,
you, David, you
in
posted
in one ear and out the other.
David, you posted a clip of Sarah Silverman talking about, like, basically saying why she might tell a rape joke.
Well, I appreciated the last part of that clip, and that's why I put it there.
Sure, but I just want to. I just thought what was interesting here is that she comments that she developed this. He says, Larry King asks her, do you say these things just to be shocking? And she said, well, maybe to an extent, because when I was a child, she basically tells a story that Bill just told, that when that her father taught her curses when she was a young kid and it got a reaction out of people, and that she developed a sense of enjoying getting a reaction out of people.
Yeah.
And then over time developed into a more a sense of comic timing, what's appropriate and all that sort of stuff. And also challenging ideas of what's appropriate and what's not. And that's not to say there aren't offensive things, but to say that we make a distinction of how, you know, she says, obviously rape is not something to be taken light in many contexts, but it's also not something that's sacred from ever being taken lightly.
Right. And so, like, my grandfather used to say curses every, like, couple words. And that was just the way he was. And that's the way my brother was, who grew up with him more. He's no longer with us. He died when I was really young. But I've found that through my life that, like, inevitably, like, I've taken on my grandfather is, like, I'm connected to him through this kind of, like, I stepped into myself at a certain age. And it was almost like my grandfather coming through. And, like, he would just say whatever the fuck came to his mind and didn't give a shit about what anybody thought in any context. And people would be offended sometimes, a lot of the time. But he was also, there's a form of authenticity in that. And I'm very blunt. And I feel like that's part of my authenticity. Like, people know I'm honest. And they know that I'm not holding back what I'm actually thinking. And I do make a effort in my whole life and in my relationships to come out and say what's actually on my mind. And I find that there's a therapeutic sense of, like, if I'm communicating something that there's a lot of stigma around, I get to release some of that stigma that's in myself. Like, things will get tense in certain areas, and in making light of something, it's a form of therapy. You have to be considerate of others to a degree, but not so much that you're restricting your own energy flow. Like, that's a issue.
Actually, that's something I wanted, because you were talking about the sort of the cultural healing that's going on around the issue of rape, which is actually that's very valid. That, you know, this is a very valid point, that up until not so long ago, it was not something that was really addressed in a legitimate way. And we're in a time where now it is. The argument where I would shift the argument is saying that expressions like violators are a part of that. It's not like the whole culture is refiguring this out. And this whole dynamic that we're talking about with the posting of this word, the reaction to it, our conversation about it is also a part of that. And I thought it was really amazing that through that conversation, I have a similar experience to yours, William, about saying something inappropriate at a dinner table and blowing people's minds. Like, where did you hear that word? And I don't know about for you, but for me, that is one of my early, deeply traumatic, shameful memories. And I'm, you know, and so again, even in bringing this out, for you to, for it to elicit that memory, which then resonates with my own memory, we are having this sort of therapeutic emotional release about being able to talk about this in a forum where it's safe to say anything. And I don't know about for you, but I know that for myself, when I do feel like I need to stop someone from saying something because I think it's wrong or offensive, it is in a lot of ways driven by the shame of that early experience of like, and vice versa. Just as much as I vehemently, like, I don't know about you, Alan, but you're like me, vehemently standing for someone to be able to say something, even if it's the worst thing in the world. That also is driven by the part of me that feels like it got slammed for saying a word without any intent.
Oh,
and
wow.
Still carrying the shame around of that.
I just realized that I think my earliest memory of getting scolded, extremely scolded, yelled at for saying a word was Freddy Krueger. So when I was like in second grade, I went to a Christian school and I said, they were going over the presidents and they said, which president is this? What's the president's name? And I was being called upon and I said, Freddy Krueger. And the teacher took me out of the classroom and said, I hope to God your parents don't let you watch those films, which they did. And I remember, I thought you might appreciate that, Andras. I didn't want to hold that one back.
Oh, but by the way, you mispronounced his name. It's Freddy Krueger, not Cougar. What is that?
Oh, right.
But what's funny is that that's the way little, I know little kids who are fans of Nightmare, and that's how they say it.
It's because I like Cougar. Now it just slips through.
I think it's interesting that the story again is told in the voice. You're telling the story in the voice of the child who was shamed,
which is probably how I pronounced it at the time. Even though I do know that it's Krueger, it came out that way probably because I was having the image of the hallway that the teacher was screaming at me in, and yeah.
My question is, which president was it?
It was Bacon. Isn't there a Bacon president?
No.
Who is that? Isn't there a Bacon president? Yeah.
The Bacon. Bill Clinton, the Bacon president.
No. Old time president. I can't remember his name. Bacon for president is what comes up if I type that in. I thought that there was one that was something like that. Anyways, whatever. Sorry, I'm feeling more and more ignorant the more I talk right now.
I'm sorry. This is what I love about this is now we've had, okay, so now we're like, anyone else have some early shame memories about words that come up around this?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Does anyone else here, like, I think this is a very interesting little always record cul-de-sac, is that we've gone from this place of sort of attacking a word to a place of talking about the experiences where we've been attacked early on for using words, which I think has got to inform this conversation.
Absolutely.
The shaming.
I think it's definitely a shaming because I know I have had, I had a few experiences like that as a child of saying something that the adults, you use an adult word that you don't even know what it means. And then everyone looks at you like, at first it's like a ha ha ha, okay. And then it's like, if you keep going in that direction, it's like, whoa, stop it. That's totally unacceptable. You don't know why it's unacceptable. It just is. You'll understand when you're older why that's unacceptable or something like that. And it's like the shame of like, I didn't, you know, of is that ignorance? Is that all these different things? And the feelings that come up around it, I think is a really, this is a valid and probably very important avenue to go down. But yes, so it informs us. And then there's the idea that, at least for myself, coming full circle is to say that we should, you know, there's the idea of healing that shame and at the same time maybe making sure that no one ever feels ashamed to say a word again. This is very possible.
It was Franklin Pierce. I can just remember the image. Sorry, guys.
That's Alan Alda.
Word.
Now I have this whole idea for, you know, for Alan Alda as Freddy Krueger. Like, an alternative universe in which Robert Englund stars in the TV show MASH and Alan Alda.
All right, so I'll read some text here I found in looking around at various things, but this is relating to Louis C.K. and Daniel Tosh. The point I was making before I was heckled is that there are awful things in the world, but you can still make jokes about them, for instance, dead babies. The world is full of terrible things, including rape, and it's okay to joke about them, but the best comics use their art to call bullshit on those terrible parts of life and make them better, not worse. The key, unless you want to be called a garbage-flavored dick on the internet by me and other humans with souls and brains, is to be responsible as a person when you construct your jokes. So that seems like a pretty good rule of thumb.
Who said that? That was Louis C.K.?
No, this is probably a writer at the magazine
Just
Jezebel.
The Jezebel? Oh, yeah. So, like, okay. They have some clips with rape jokes from Borat in Kazakhstan. The favorite hobbies are disco dancing, archery, rape, and table tennis. Louis C.K., I'm not condemning rape. Obviously, you should never rape anyone unless you have a reason, like if you want to fuck someone and they won't let you. There's a chick, Ever Maynard. Problem is that every woman in her entire life is one moment where you think, oh, here's my rape. Now, all these people are comedians who are getting millions of laughs for talking about actual physical rape, and I'm just talking about how painful it is for you to listen to my voice right now. And still, mind-blowing that we're here right now talking about this.
Yeah. Ear blowing.
There's some blowing going on, whatever.
There's some blowing on. But in Vietnam, the wind doesn't blow, it sucks. Never mind.
So, Bill, you also brought up Oprah Winfrey. And again, this was another synchronicity that I noticed coming out of the show Synchronize, was we talked to Radon Chong just a few months ago, and the conversation turned to racism and racial things and what's funny, what's not funny. So it was,
well, she asked the song Slave by the Rolling Stones as her answer.
Yeah.
And that was sort of like this, you know, sync. So we were not having a conversation about race at all. And just as we're saying, sort of like, without there being any intention, the pop oracle, the synchronicity was sort of like, you know, ear rape, or like threw out the most odd, like the most uncomfortable thing. It was like that kid in the room saying racism. Okay. Oh, now we have to deal with. Okay, we're on the phone with Radon Chong, and you were the one who took it there, Alan. You were the one who we were just talking about it generically, and you were the one who was like, "Well, we kind of have to deal with the elephant in the room, which is that the pop oracle just brought up race and the idea of a slave, of slavery, and that was an uncomfortable conversation that ended up being really good." You know, it was uncomfortable in the abstract before we had it. And then while we were having it, it was actually good.
Right, right, right.
So anyway, I just wanted to give that context to what you're about to say.
Yeah, so there's the idea that, yes, it's like, and this is why I was saying there's the point of whether or not you can, if you try and avoid a conversation, it's going to come up anyway. And in that synchronized, the pop oracle definitely brought it up. What I'm getting at is that then Radon Chong recently was, she gave an interview, and we can pull up the exact phrasing here, but she was talking about Oprah Winfrey, and she said something to the effect of back in, you know, I'm probably going to screw this up. I should probably find the exact thing, but she says Oprah Winfrey would have been a house nigger. It's basically saying that she wouldn't have been a she wouldn't have been someone who would even be allowed to be famous or wealthy. She would have been a servant in someone else, someone's house. And the headlines that came out of it is Radon Chong called Oprah Winfrey a nigger, and the idea that she was racist or this was offensive and all these sorts of things. And then Radon Chong had to go on the defensive here. Now, obviously, Radon Chong is a woman of color. Not that like you can't be racist, but that has to at least factor into it. And then there's the whole idea of that how quickly someone can get slandered or something can get turned out of. And I saw that Radon put on her Facebook, she had to put up the whole recorded interview because all these people were trying to just say, this is what was said in it. And she's like, well, this is what was actually said. And regardless, whether or not you want to defend this. And then there's just the idea of that she didn't say she'd be a house N-word. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's like all these issues of what is acceptable language, who can say what. All these things seem to come up, and to me, very much tied to the show we did. And this continues to be something that we're hitting on. And I understand, Violator, you're saying that it's a shame we have to do a whole show about it. And to a large extent, I agree with you. Is that it's a shame that this even is a conversation in one respect, and at the same time, I think this is a really important conversation, and the synchronicities that keep popping up are telling me it's something we have to address. So,
to just discuss the Radon Chong thing real quick, it wasn't that she used the N-word, it wasn't that she said nigger, right? In the context and in the interview, she was comparing Oprah to say she wouldn't be a field slave, right? She wouldn't work out in the fields.
It's the other way around, actually. I'm looking at it right now. She said she wouldn't have been a house nigger. She would have been a field nigger. So I give her props.
Oh, really? Quote. Well, I misread that completely then.
That's the whole thing that what's weird is that it's when I'm looking at it, it looks like she's giving a kind of compliment. She's saying, look at this person is a phenomenon. So it was also in the context that she was like a big brown noser, which is not, she didn't mean in the racial sense, but just in it, that she's kind of saying she's a great politician.
Oh, that's
she
bizarre.
Singles out the most powerful person in the room and befriends them. And by doing so, she also calls her like the fat girl. Like she's basically saying she went from being she took being fat and all these other qualities that might even in the black community make her a lower form and elevated herself to the place of being, you know, the queen of the world. So I just really wanted to be clear. She wasn't saying comparing her to a house nigger.
Does anyone remember the public shaming of Trent Lott?
Huh?
Does anyone remember the public shaming of Trent Lott?
For what?
He was the senator who, on the 100th birthday of Senator Strom Thurmond, who was retiring because he's 100 fucking years old, he said, you know, America would have been a better place if you had been elected back in the day. Well, Strom Thurmond lived, obviously, back during segregation and was pro-segregationist. Vis-a-vis, Trent Lott was really saying America would be better if you had made everything segregationist or something. You have to assume, you know, you have to make some leap and take his statement totally out of context to call him a racist or say that he's pro. I mean, he might be pro segregation. I don't know, but you know, to say Trent Lott was a racist and he had to go on BET for like a month giving interviews about how he's sorry for being racist, where nothing he said was racist. It was totally taken out of context. He was just telling this guy that 100-year-old man, you know, too bad you didn't become president. It was like one of the earlier public shaming out of context, celebrity.
Well, I mean,
it's funny. That's where I become the like William. I'm like, yeah, I have no patience for Trent Lott or Strom Thurmond or old school racists like that. So
I'm sure they're
that's
terrible.
Where you got mine. Yeah. You got that's where I jump in, and I'm like, yeah, I would be part of the shame squad on Trent Lott.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I understand how you're saying he was misinterpreted. What do you think?
Well, he said, you ran for president, we voted for him, we're proud of it, the rest of the country would follow our lead, we wouldn't have had all these problems over the years either. Wow. And so because...
That does sound like a ringing endorsement.
I'm not...
But what Jeremy's saying is that...
The statement, those actual words are not pro-segregationists.
You have to make a leap. Right. You just have to assume that this guy's a dick. And that's what he's celebrating him for, being a super dick.
Yeah, right. The policy of segregation was what would have made America better, is what you're assuming by saying that that's a bad statement.
It sure sounds like that's what he's saying.
Well, he might be. I'm just, you know, it's...
That is
explicitly spelled out.
And I think this might go to sort of the difference.
I don't think he would have said that. I don't know. I don't think he would have said that in public, like, yay, segregationism at this guy's 100th birthday party.
No, I think, coded language speaking to the racist elements in America by Republican politicians is, you know, is as old as Strom Thurmond and older. But I think this goes to the difference between, I think, what you said as an artist on your Facebook page using colorful language and having, you know, being a representative of only yourself, and an elected official who wields power speaking to a large constituency of people who do think that if America had just stayed segregated, we wouldn't have had all these problems. I think there's a difference. Like, whereas I don't think, like, you could say, what you said on your page did not push my buttons or offend me nearly as much as the response to it. If you were speaking to an audience of, you know, domestic abusers, then the context would be different. And I would have more of a problem because you'd be encouraging people to take an action, or that you're saying that you represent, you know, you're not going to let, you know, people pick on rapists anymore. That's a different thing than an artist expressing themselves colorfully on their page.
If I went out to eat with a bunch of women in the military who've been raped, I wouldn't say I'm going to rape the buffet line. You know, obviously.
Awkward.
Yeah. Major awkward moment.
So, and to clarify,
I will violate.
To clarify, right? So when you say it's not saying defending all rapists, yeah, it's like the position I'm trying to take here is that it's not about defending rapists or rape culture. I'm defending an artist being able to use a phrasing that some people might very well be offended by, and some people might have very good reason or to have sensitivity to it. Just to make that distinction, it's not defending all rapists. I would gladly take a baseball bat to the head of a rapist probably 7 days out of the week. It's the question. It's not the question here. And I think that's where I was. I think one of the reasons I was so offended by the way this conversation went is that I felt like this is in a way this is it's using real victims of crime, of horrible, horrendous crime, as a political football, to equate when someone says, hey, ear rape, and then to try and say, there is this culture, there is this group of people who have been or have had horribly traumatic experiences, therefore you can't say that. To me, I think that I actually found that incredibly offensive. So it's not, again, it's not defending rapists. It's saying
that's the tyranny of one against the many, like in South Park's Christmas episode where they had non-denominational, non-offensive Christmas. They had, oh, anyone here offended by a star? Well, I'm offended. They had to take the star out, you know. Eventually, you got Philip Glass playing minimalistic electric piano, and the kids are dancing around in green jumpsuits, and it has nothing to do with Christmas anymore because you had to please every single person before you put on the show. I mean, obviously, you can't do that. I mean, you can't not bring up certain subjects because someone next to you on the bus might have been personally involved in that subject, whatever it is. But also, at the end of that article on Jezebel, some woman wrote in, as a survivor, I like this. I have to say, I agree. I don't feel like shit when the joke is about rape culture. I feel like shit when someone like Tosh makes a joke that essentially gives permission for someone to violently lay their hands on another person, which is Daniel Tosh said she should be raped, I think, about the girl getting up and leaving the auditorium, which, even though, yeah, he's a comedian and artist, and I think he can say that if he wants to, you know, I personally disagree with what he said.
Yeah, and I do think, and again, so there's a distinction between promoting actual violence, and this is, I think, where the fine line is. People saying, is this a tacit support for a culture of violence? And it's an interesting conversation, but the idea that there is I think we probably all agree that there's, when it goes to the sense of being very literal, saying that woman should be raped, there should be some horrible thing should happen, that crosses a line of not, very much not being funny, and even debatable as far as defensible. So what the position I'm trying to take here is not an easy one. It's certainly not a popular one, but it's the idea of trying to create, not only about creating a great space where we can talk about people who have had traumatic experiences or people who have had felt shame or people, all the different things that we're trying to create a safe space for, but also a safe space where we're not policing each other's speech or thoughts. And that's really important to me. Now, what Justin keeps saying that he is, one of the things he's trying to point out here, he's saying, you guys have to realize that this is a public relations blind spot, that people will be turned off. And I accept that completely, that there are people going to be turned off by the fact that there's a Kyle Hunt in the book because he's, I think he strikes me as a fucking anti-Semite, and maybe someone will tell me that's, you know, that's not true. Someone knows him better or whatever. That's certainly how he fucking strikes me. So it might turn somebody off. Then there's the idea that someone who actually is an anti-Semite could be offended that Andros is in the book because they, well, you had a fucking Jew in there. someone could be offended by anything. I'm not. The idea of the space that I'm trying to create here is knowing full well that it's a public relations nightmare, but I would rather live in a world where we're all can say what we want and can explore our artistic expressions than a place where we've just become a public relations machine where we're saying, you can say this, you can't say that.
That's so funny because public relations itself is the same thing as propaganda.
Right.
I mean, admittedly so. And so it's like, and all art is propaganda on some level, right? Because you have an idea and you're trying to impress that idea upon others so that they share in your belief, you know? So that's tricky. It's kind of a consensus reality there.
Yeah, it looks like this is winding down. Andras has got to go. Frank's got to go. Bill's got to go. So, anyone want any parting words on this?
I think we exhausted this.
I think this has been a really, really important conversation. I think it's really great of you, Alan, to have, you know, sort of made it happen. And I think it's awesome that Violator was willing to come and, you know, and address this stuff directly. And also that William was willing to you know, be the voice of that represents a lot of the people who did who had a problem with it. I just think this was I appreciate the integrity of everyone involved in this. It was a really great conversation and useful, even though we probably offended everyone.
I feel like Violator is like such a poignant reflection for people, and the fact that he's Violator Hellspawn is just so perfect. Like he's the cathodic reflection, and so I appreciate it. When I saw your thing on Facebook, and it appealed to me because I was curious. It left me curious. It was like, ooh, this sounds intriguing. I'm not sure what I'm going to be going into. And it started, and I told Amy, I was like, Amy, I love this guy. I like his whole deal. He's like, he's so like sincere and just like very like, yeah. I called her attention to it. I was like, just listen to the way he talks. He's like, you know. And then I had no idea that there was all this business erupting around it. And so it's really interesting. I just want to thank you for doing your show and being who you are. I thought it was great.
Thanks for saying that.
Yeah, I thought it was a great show, Violator. I think we said what we need to say about what the thing was. So,
and the whole thing happened because 42 minutes needed to have vacation. Will was out on his anniversary, and I'm having a baby, and we're just looking for someone to do us a favor, and so. I do, as a representative of the show, want to thank you for doing us this favor. We didn't do you any favors. Of course, it erupted in this whole thing. But the work was wonderful. And I, you know, that's exactly what we wanted. We wanted the community. You basically did an audio sync video. And if other members out there want to do something similar, please do. If you can, you know, reach the caliber of work that Violator did, I mean, that's exactly what... You know, fresh, new, original content. It was great. So,
thank you.
Welcome it. You know, other people who would like to do something similar, it gives us a chance to take a breather too. So,
that's the last time you go on vacation.
I want to have Violator on our show again to actually discuss synchronicity and to talk about Kabbalah and stuff sometime if you're into it.
Sure.
Be cool.
Yeah, the Synchronize will return to your regularly scheduled Synchronicity show next week.
Synchronize?
I said Synchronize?
Oh man, that was a Freudian slip.
Oh my god! Now you know my real intent here. I only mentioned it like four times during the thing.
Next week, 42 Minutes is speaking with Andras Jones about geomancy and the Kabbalistic tree in Olympia.
And it seems like next week, Always Record, which is what is returning to a regularly scheduled sync show. See, too many things have the word sync in it. That's why I said synchronized. So I think, is it possible we're going to have Christopher Knowles with us next week?
Christopher Knowles this week, or barring... something maybe the following week, but most likely 8/8/2013.
Awesome.
Cool. Synchronicity.
Yeah, when this baby hits 88 miles an hour. I thought we were supposed to be talking about Sirius today.
Yo, shit got serious, yo.
Exactly. We had a serious conversation instead of a serious conversation. So. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
These are the cover.
We
feel, and it seems to be facts, that the company is rather down on the cover. Is that the case?
Yes.
You can give it to me straight, you know.
Listen, they don't like the cover. Uh-huh. They don't like
well,
the
that's
cover.
Certainly straight.
They find it very offensive and what? Very sexist.
Well, what exactly do you find offensive?
Ian, you put a creased, naked woman.
Yes.
On all fours,
yes.
With a door collar
with a
around
collar.
Her neck, and a leash,
and
a man's arm extended out up to here, holding onto the leash, and pushing a black glove in her face to sniff it. You don't find that offensive?
No,
you don't find that sexist?
This is 1982.
That's
right,
it's 1982. Get out of the 60s. We don't have this mentality anymore.
Well, you should have seen the cover they wanted to do.
I don't care.
I'm going to try and come up with the most horribly inappropriate image for this episode that I could think
well,
of.
Well, if I open the show with Rate Me by Nirvana, I mean...
Yeah. I say you use Jodie Foster and Accused.
Jesus Christ. It's going to be all Oprah, you motherfuckers.
Okay. Now, Alan, you'll have to...
I do think we should insert the Sarah Silverman audio clip into this as well.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. It's good. Have you heard it?
Not a fan of Silverman.
He's on Larry King. It's a Larry King clip. Oh, I
guess. Well, come, wait a sec. Oh, forget it.
Go for it.
What, you got to think?
Well, no, I just mean... I know we've already done this, but... So, you don't like Sarah Silverman either?
Yeah, despise her.
But you like Lenny Bruce.
Oh, geez, did you just say Sarah Silverman and Lenny Bruce in the same sentence?
Wait, well, listen to this audio clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
I would absolutely use them in the same...
It's because she's
even she felt freaked out by it. Like,
she's being the character that you're supposed to like. She's playing a fucking. She's like, okay, I'm a pretty white girl. Look at fucking me, like, be the epitome of the bullshit and be a reflection of a huge part of society that doesn't fucking know shit about shit and just goes out and is just like la 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 la. I like it. I think she's great.
I mean, you got. I mean, it's a well. I whatever. It's. This is where I think it's maybe it's a Jewish sense of humor thing, you know? I mean, because, I mean, Sarah Silverman, like, I don't know, it's just funny that we start off by having a problem with rape, but we don't have a problem with voicing hatred towards a Jewish woman who is successful and
Wait,
respected.
Hatred? Where's hatred? I just don't like her work. I don't think
you said, you said I hate her.
Well, you know what? Okay, so I'm in Violator land. I don't like her material.
We'll
I
have
find
a
her funny.
For you next week.
Next week's show, we're going to have to postpone Christopher Knowles because we're going to be talking about why Bill Klaus hates Jewish women.
Oh, my goodness.
let's put it more positive. Why he doesn't love Jewish women the way some of us do.
Violator Shiksa. That's my new avatar.
For the record, what Larry King says to her in that clip is he says that he knew Lenny Bruce very well and that Lenny Bruce would have loved her
Lenny
material.
Bruce hated Silverman.
How do you know? Do you know that?
I know that for a fact.
Wait a second. What do you know about? Let's go toe to toe on some Lenny Bruce here. What do you know about? Like, do you listen to his stuff?
Andres, I transcribed the fucking Berkeley show. It took me about 35 hours, man. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it in the Berkeley show.
Do you remember the bit in the box set where he goes? They give him names of funny people, and he goes, "Funny, actor or a comedian?" He's like, "Not funny." Like Milton Berle, not funny, actor. And then they go, W.C. Fields, funny, a comedian. And he goes through his list of people who he thinks are funny and not funny. Sarah Silverman would have been not funny.
No way. No. Sarah Silverman, wait a second. Look at who you're talking about. You have Milton Berle, Uncle Milty.
But don't quote me on it. I haven't listened to the bit in a while.
No, but I'm just saying. But look at who you're talking about. Like, and W.C. Fields, a guy who makes jokes about picking on kids, about getting drunk, about...
Yeah, because he's a genius, he says. Sarah Silverman is not a genius. He's talking about people who create original material.
I think that Sarah Silverman is a totally unique phenomenon.
No, she's not at all.
Who is she? Mm-hmm. Who's like her?
She is, some dumb asshole with big tits. That's all she is.
What? I'm sorry.
That's
but
far worse than anything I've ever said.
Yeah. Real sexist here. Wait, who's the real sexist here, William? I'm serious. If you're gonna get on a high horse and take Violator to task for saying,
I'm just hanging up right now because this is fucking ridiculous. Sarah Silverman is really? Not funny. Lenny Bruce would not find her funny. She hasn't have. Where is her body of material? She's not a good comedian. As a person, I bet I'd love her. But as a comedian, horseshit. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, and that's
people have their own taste. I crack the fuck up watching Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, some people like South Park. I can't stand South Park. I think it's awful. But Matt Parker and Trey Stone, whatever, I'm sure they're great people. But I think their work is crap. That's it.
I think it's the other way around.
I think so too. They might be really bad people, but they are hilarious.
Would you say Matt Parker and Trey Stone are just idiots with big dicks?
I was trying to be funny in the moment to categorize my dislike for Sarah Silverman.
You're the one who said we need to have sensitivity.
Little shadow play here.
Yeah, we need to have sensitivity.
Hey, you can put me in the fucking spotlight. You can put me in the spotlight for the next hour and I'll stand tall.
Cultural moment, man. Feel the moment of the culture.
Where's Justin when you need him?
Hey, can we not pull a Jon Irving and take this out? I'm sorry, I just had to put that out there because I know it's going to come up.
Wait, see, what did I say again?
Can we not pull a Jon Irving and take this out? Can we leave this in the show and just be what we are?
Oh, of course. I don't see why not. Of course, why?
Well, okay. The show ended about 6 minutes ago. That's when we said goodbye. So, you know, you got to know where you are and when you are. And that was the whole point of my rap. So.
And the whole point of our rap is that it's all in.
Always record. The show is always record. Always censor, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are a bunch of
we're a bunch of idiots with big dicks.
Yeah.
That's
I'll just swing my little guy over here and deal with it. But hey, it's not going in the show.
Whatever. If it's not going in the show, then why is it okay? Like, okay, but then you're not if you think it's worth attacking Sarah Silverman and saying that she's nothing like
Lenny
Bruce.
Shut up. Just shut up.
I don't understand that impulse.
I'm censoring you, Andras.
No, you're not censoring me. But you're not meeting me in a conversation.
And you're ear raping me right now, and I don't appreciate it.
So you can say horrible things about other people.
Dude, shut up.
I'm sorry.
Up. Literally, shut up.
No, what the fuck?
No, William, I will not shut up. I'm sorry. This is the impulse. This is what this show was building to all the time.
No, it wasn't, and you're wrong.
Actually, it is. This is the truth that's happening, William, and you're just closing your ears and saying, shut up, shut up, shut up.
No,
that's
because
just,
I'm not prepared to get
in. It shows a level
in.
Of lack of consciousness.
I'm not prepared to get into it with you right now because I have to go. I will be more than happy
when someone starts like vocally attacking a Jewish woman artist.
Oh,
who I
Jesus
think
Christ! You think I was attacking the Jewishness of her? Get
no,
the
I was just
fuck
no. It's not. I'm not. See,
out
I'm not
of
saying,
here.
I'm not
get,
saying that.
And you
I'm
think
just
I was attacking
that,
her as a woman? I was attacking her as a comedian. I don't think she's funny.
No, but the
yeah,
real
which
language,
you're entitled
language,
to think
Jesus.
Like. But if you don't think she's funny, you don't think she's funny, and that I can accept if that's what you're communicating and that's your main point. I can totally deal with that because we each have our own tastes. And lots of people don't like – Amy hates South Park. I mean, I have friends that hate South Park. Like, that's fine.
I think
you know,
Blade
whatever.
I think Blade Runner is a boring movie.
It can be. That's for sure.
I think it's a pretty bad movie. But anyway, so I was saying everyone's entitled to their opinion. But I guess my question is, yeah.
If there's a problem, it's the problem with the language and how you voiced your displeasure with the artist.
No. Wait, stop. So let's not make this a semantics issue. What I'm saying though is like, so if you have to go, that's one thing. You say I don't have the time for this conversation right now. But I think the question of like, what is how do you approach that, or to say maybe the conversation's building here is when it's the idea of. How do we have difference of opinions? Oh, so again, I'm not trying to keep. If you have to go, that's a completely valid. The point, though, is that how do we? We don't have to pick this conversation up next week. But you can't just shut the conversation down or say this isn't part of the show because.
Well, A, it's not part of the show because you know how we say goodbye, and then we usually have some spillover that's not part of the show. We know that
this is totally part of the show.
Get have your own hours recorded, and you can tell me it's part of the show, okay, Andras?
Okay.
Second of all,
you're gonna take your ball and go home?
No, I'm just telling you how we do things here week to week.
This has gone over the line to being disrespectful. You're telling me to shut up. You are now censoring our conversation.
Oh, God. See, this is why we need to have a conversation like this in person, because things are lost when you talk on Skype. This is not a human conversation. This is a human convenience that allows you to have a conversation. Let me just say this.
I'm not the one telling you to shut up. I'm not the one...
Oh, God. All right, take me seriously, Andras. That's fine.
Do you want me to shut up or don't you want me to shut up? Let's get clear.
When you said shut up, you were laughing. And if you're saying, hey, that if we were in person, the context is removed, that's fine. What I'm saying, though, is the idea to say we've done this before, but we've done plenty of shows where we've thought we said goodbye and then someone says something as they're parting and the conversation keeps going.
Yeah, but
so
you
that,
know,
that has happened before as well.
Yeah, but this was all the show was done and we were bullshitting after the show.
No, it's not. This is exactly the conversation. You just did exactly what you said Violator did, and I called you on it, and you got
really
irate.
You didn't call me on anything.
I am calling you on it.
Okay, you're calling me.
Talk about Sarah Silverman the way you did. It's more offensive than what Violator did.
Okay, so if I – no, Andras, what would be offensive is if I went to my Facebook page and I just said, blah, 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 blah. I'm posting this for people to see. Come listen to Always Record. That's –
You're on Always Record, Always Recording, and you're saying it. It's the same thing.
You think
Except
you're
now
so
you're saying that now you don't want to.
You
don't
think
want to
you're so
there.
Smart right now, Andras, but you're not.
I don't think I'm so smart.
You
I don't
do.
Know what you're. See, it, everything you're saying, it's all from. I haven't said anything negative about you, other than this is a good conversation, and it sounds like you're being like I'm being offended by what you're saying. That's me being offended by what you're saying. I'm not saying, but you're saying really. Insulting things to me, William,
I'm joking with you.
Okay, well, I bet.
And then, second of all, you've taken
so
it
you
so.
You can say it's a
Andras,
joke when you say
second.
It, but you can't say it's a
I'll
joke when Violator
thing
says
right
it.
Now,
but when
Andras,
I say,
I was
you
joking
get to
with
the
you.
Arbiter,
and the
funny.
Minute that you tried to tell me what this show is about when I started it with Alan, that's when I kind of lose respect for you. Okay,
I'm not telling you
exactly
what
my
about.
Show is, and I know exactly what we do here. Okay, and I've been doing it for 58 weeks now. So for you to come in and tell me right now what the essence of the show is...
I'm not telling you that. I'm sorry if that's what the impression you got. What I'm telling you is that you're being... This went from a friendly conversation to you saying, shut up, you're being an idiot. Now you're saying that I'm sorry. I'll say, I am sorry if I said to you something that offended you around my understanding of the show. But I do think that I've listened to enough shows to know that when David makes the joke about doing the Jan Irving, that in the last time you had me on here, you guys were all making fun of Jan Irving for wanting to take stuff out. And now you're saying you want to take stuff out. That seems like an inconsistency to me. It's not me saying that I know the show better than you do. I'm just pointing out an inconsistency and asking that we be that I'm suggesting that it feels like a weird bait and switch to me to be here and having this conversation, which is integral to what the conversation we started having, and have you sort of say, I am going to cut it out when no one here thinks that that's a good idea.
All right. It's Always Record. It's not always broadcast. And everybody on this show has every right at every minute to say, I don't want that on the air. So when we stopped, stopped talking and we said goodbye, I knew I was in my... I'm not putting this out in the air. We're just saying goodbye and bullshitting at the end of the show. It's not for broadcast. Do I think a different way when I'm on the air? Maybe I do unconsciously. Maybe I do consciously. But I know when I'm saying what I'm projecting on the air. And I wasn't projecting that for broadcast. Now, yeah, it's turned into something interesting that I do have recorded, but I'm not going to broadcast it because that's the tenet of our show. That's the foundation of our show, okay? So I apologize for saying shut up. I was really doing that in a comical kind of like, if we would have been in person, you would have known I'm not,
No, no, it wouldn't. If I was, okay. If you were saying offensive things about a Jewish woman to a Jewish man, and acting like you know stuff about her, and then when I talk to you about it, you say shut up, shut up, shut up. If you're smiling, it doesn't make it any better.
No, because
I'm telling
you're
you
saying
that
I
if
was...
you get to no, if you get to say what's culturally appropriate around what other people say, then you have to listen when someone says it to you.
I was
and you went over the line, William. You went over the line. Now is the time when you say. You apologize like you ask other people to do.
And saying, I don't like her act. You told me I was attacking a Jewish woman.
That's not what you said.
You're telling me I was attacking a Jewish woman. I'm telling you I was saying I don't like her act, her comic. That's my final statement on it. I don't know if I have to justify who I am or what I believe or how I talk about these issues because I've been doing it for 58 weeks. All right, man?
Well, I can tell. I want to say this much. I know, you know, you were bringing up the fact that she's Jewish, and I'm Jewish, and Andras is Jewish, and I've been talking to Bill long enough. I've been talking to you long enough to know that you're not an anti-Semite, and so I myself am not worried about that. I was surprised to hear some of the comments that slipped out from you, but I don't. It sounds like they were like. Kind of unconscious, and you weren't necessarily like you were kind of in a position where you're just saying shit. And I guess that can happen if you want to remove this from what you put out there. I don't necessarily mind that myself. It wouldn't be my preference. My preference would be to include it. But if that bothers you, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I don't know.
Alan?
I want to be really clear. It's like, I'm not saying that you attacked her because she's a Jewish woman. I'm saying I defended her because she's a Jewish woman. You attacked her
that
because...
That kind of rubs me the wrong way.
No. Like,
well, because
let me explain. Because there is a certain way that certain people are attacked by people who aren't aware of the way that they're approaching them. And there is, like, whether it's... And my point is that William, this is the exact same point that William has been making through this whole episode, that it is our responsibility, if we're working in sync, to be hyper-conscious of the most sensitive person in the room. And I am taking the role of the most sensitive person in the room around Sarah Silverman, as someone who knows her, first of all, second of all, who respects her, third of all, who has valid criticisms of her, but that's not the tenor of this conversation. It's that I hate her. She's nothing like Lenny Bruce. She's just a dumb girl with big tits. And yeah, I also happen to be a Jewish man listening to a guy pick on a Jewish woman. I'm hearing, so you can take me to task for that. But the point is that if the point is that we have to be sensitive to the most sensitive person, then I'm saying William has to walk his talk or walk his talk back and stop being so sensitive about other people, because that is the conversation we were here to have.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I actually agree with that wholeheartedly. Is that, and it's not about picking sides. It's about saying, yeah, it's like if Violator's comment, exactly, if Violator's comment was inappropriate, even though he didn't direct it at women and victims of rape, but if you're saying you have to be conscious of that, then.
It's. I understand what you're saying, Andras. I think it's more complicated than that. I think when I was talking about Sarah Silverman, I assumed wrongly, as an ass, that everyone knew I was attacking her public persona as a comic on the level of Lenny Bruce. And I don't think she is funny. I think that she's famous because she has a certain physical characteristic, so that might be sexist, but I think that might be sexist based on the way Hollywood works, okay? I don't think she's famous because of her comedic talents. So, yeah, that's probably very offensive to the person Sarah Silverman. But I don't know Sarah Silverman. I just know the person who's projected in TV and in Hollywood. And I don't think she's funny, and I think that there are funnier people who should have more attention based on being funny. But because she's attractive, she gets a little bit more work. So that maybe is a comment on Hollywood and a comment on our system, okay? And that's why I just assumed people would hear me saying that attack from. So that's my statement on what I said. Now, was there probably a little bit of rage and probably a little bit of jealousy injected into it? Probably. I wish I was as famous as Sarah Silverman. So yeah, so I'm guilty of that. I'll give you that. But I was never attacking her for being a female or a Jewish person. I was just attacking her as being a non-funny comic who has more fame than I think she deserves. And I don't think Lenny Bruce would think she was funny. I really don't. And I've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours of listening to Lenny and reading what Lenny wrote and what Lenny said. And he appreciated things that were really, really funny and creative and original. And I don't find that with Sarah Silverman. So that's just my opinion. I'm probably wrong.
Well, I would suggest that I think you are on that. But it's at least then we're in the realm of having a conversation about our opinions about Lenny Bruce and talking about comedy rather than saying what is allowed or not allowed to say, to be said, I guess.
And to my defense, and maybe this is bullshit, but we just did almost like a 2.5 hour show and we were finally done and my brain was kind of like, it can like relax. And I don't know if anyone else experiences that, but sometimes when I know the show's over, I can exhale. It's like doing a show. It's like you're on and you're putting your voice out there. And I think I bring my game to a little higher level and I'm a little bit more aware of what I'm doing. So when I turned off the show, I kind of turned off my brain. So that was the sort of shut up. I don't want to get into another hour long conversation. So I apologize for that. All right.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I always
didn't have as much to, it didn't have as much to do with Andras as it had to do with you feeling done.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, because we know we can just go on and on and on and on. We've done 6 hour shows, but I was just sort of like, oh, my brain's kind of done for the day. I can go and do the laundry now or something. So, I'll put this in the audio if everybody wants it. I personally don't feel comfortable doing that, and that's one of the things in our shows. And I'm not doing this out to try to hide anything or obscure anything. It's just that this wasn't me recording. I wasn't doing this to be on the show. I don't know. So maybe you can tell me I'm wrong there, and I'll listen. But it just wasn't part of the deal for me this morning or this afternoon. Okay?
Okay. Well, sure.
It's your show, and I have no say in it, but I would say that this is exactly the conversation that I feel like we were here to have. That when Alan invited...
Yeah, I feel like, yeah. I think it has value. I would prefer that it be in, but I'm okay. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that you have... I don't think there's... I think that we all have something to be embarrassed about and have nothing to be embarrassed about in the realm of sync. And that so I understand the impulse to want to cut this out. I also think that even as this conversation is continuing right here, what it's documenting is the kind of mental dexterity and flexibility that is crucial to this kind of work. And that stepping across people's boundaries of comfort and then being able to step back to it is the sort of yoga of working with sync and communication and other people. And I think we could have a great conversation argument about Sarah Silverman and Lenny Bruce. But I'll be honest, that's not what I was here, what I was brought into this conversation to do, I don't think, by Alan, but was to point out exactly what I was saying to you there, which is that there's a place where you got inelegant in a place where you didn't think that everyone was going to be looking. There's a place where Violator got inelegant, where and you could say it's inelegant, or you could also say that this whole conversation from the standpoint of Lenny Bruce is something that whether you would like Sarah Silverman, he would love this conversation.
Oh fuck yeah.
You know, so that's why I think this is valid, and I don't think there's even though I've been tough with you as a debater, I hope that you get that there's a lot of respect here, and I hope that people listening to this will get, if they get the chance to listen to it and you feel comfortable with it, will get that this is an area where there should be a lot of respect for all of, you know, there should be respect for you, for me, for Alan, for this whole, for the conversation. And imagine Lenny Bruce in the corner jerking off and being happy because he would love it.
Well, let's leave with that image. Work that into the poster, Alan.
You got it. I just want to also, in the terms of voting, I also think it's a funny sync is that I had spoken to Andras about a week or two ago that I was interested in trying to get Laura Silverman, Sarah's probably lesser known or certainly less famous sister, on Synchronize because I really wanted to speak to her.
Yeah, I would too.
I just think it's funny that the Silverman thing came up.
Well, I think if we conclude this, we're that much closer to getting her.
Yep.
Part of our public relations campaign to take over the world.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Hey, wait. Yeah. Al and Dave, we got to talk about Christopher Knowles.
All right. Yeah, let's. I could stick around a few more minutes and just kind of have that conversation. You got it. Thank you, everybody, Andras, Violator, Tommy, everyone who's still there. For real, thank you, guys.
Sure thing. It's kind of it was like watching parents argue in a weird way. That was the vibe I got from it. Just kind of sitting in my room listening.
Why don't mommy and daddy love me?
Exactly.
Now I got to include it just for that riff, man.
You know, Tommy, as a child of divorce, I that offends me.
Yeah. But see, I was watching the Deer Hunter, and there's a whole thread there. You know where... Okay, are you guys trying to leave?
Yeah, I got to talk to these guys for a few minutes, and then I got a jet, so...
All right.
We'll do this another time. Anybody wants to come back, we'll definitely do this again. But yeah, we do have a show that we need to talk about for next week, so...
All right, cool. All right, see you guys later.
Thanks, later, Tommy.
Sure.
By the way, if you're still there, thank you.
Thank you for having me. And it's digiport.blogspot.com. All right.